Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of Jesus in today's gospel are very plain. They aren't hard to understand. He tells his disciples plainly, not in parables, not in figures of speech. He speaks what's about to happen. They're walking to Jerusalem, and he says that there in Jerusalem, when they get there, he, the Son of Man, will be rejected by the people, turned over to the Gentiles, but he'll suffer, be killed, and rise again on the third day. It's not cryptic, as some of his parables can be at times. Speaks to them simply on what's going to happen. And then what does it say? That none of it made any sense to his disciples. They apparently didn't think Jesus was speaking literally. They didn't understand the scriptures that said that all these things had to happen and would happen to the Christ. They didn't understand the need for the Christ suffer, die, much less to rise again. It doesn't make sense. It's not what the Christ was supposed to do in their thinking. Why couldn't they understand those simple words of Jesus? St. Luke tells us it was hidden from them, hidden from Jesus' own apostles. The Holy Spirit was intentionally not enlightening their minds yet at this point, but was leaving them in blindness for the moment. They weren't supposed to understand Jesus' suffering and death ahead of time. And Jesus, for his part, wasn't supposed to have the comfort of friends who could sympathize with what he was going through and who could understand what he was about to do. So they couldn't see the path ahead of Jesus and ahead of them, in spite of Jesus' clear words. Even the clearest words of God are hidden from us sinful human beings unless the Holy Spirit enlightens our minds to perceive what those words mean. So for the moment, the Holy Spirit left Jesus' disciples in blindness, but not in total blindness. They couldn't see or understand the path ahead of them, but they still saw one thing clearly. They still saw Jesus. They still saw him as the Christ, the Son of the living God. They still knew his selfless and committed love to them, like the love St. Paul described in today's epistle. Even though they didn't yet know the extent to which the love of Christ would drive him all the way to the cross, for love of them and for us. They still trusted him and trusted in him, even though they didn't yet understand the whole truth about him. They still have faith, with Jesus himself as the object of that faith. And because they did, they kept following him. They followed him and walked with him to Jerusalem, even though he had said these strange things about what would happen there. They stayed on the path of the cross even without understanding it, because they trusted him. They knew him to be truthful, to be kind and good and merciful. They knew him to be the Son of God and Savior of the world, and the one who would keep them safe from the just condemnation of God's holy law. That was enough for them. stay with Jesus, whether they saw their path clearly or not. And when the time was right, of course, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, then Jesus did open their minds to understand all that the scriptures had prophesied about him, which were now hidden from their sight. Then there was a blind man they encountered on their way to Jerusalem, a beggar. He heard the commotion as the crowds followed Jesus in this parade to Jerusalem. He asked what it was about. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." So he began crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The Greek word there, eleison, which we say or sing five or six times every Sunday in our liturgy, "Have mercy." As often happens with people who lose one of their senses, their other senses are heightened to compensate for the one they lost. So it certainly was with this blind man who couldn't see, but his ears were working especially well. He had been listening. Over the past 3 years, listening to what people said, to the good report that they gave about this Jesus, who was called by some the Christ. To the good report of this Jesus and of his mercy that he showed to people, no matter who they were, no matter what they had done, of his goodness and mercy, his willingness and his ability to help. And even more importantly, the Holy Spirit had been using that word, that good report about Christ, to enlighten the blind man's mind, to shine the light of Christ on him and to give him spiritual insight, even though his physical eyes were worthless to him yet at this point. He couldn't see Jesus with his eyes, nor did he have the benefit of the years of instruction that Jesus' own apostles had had. And yet he believed in Jesus. Believed in him as the Son of David, which means the Christ. And he believed in him in the one who is love, who is kind and good and merciful, who offers divine help to all who seek it from him, even to blind beggars. That faith is what led the blind man to leap, calling out to Jesus, "Have mercy," even when people tried to silence him, and they did try to silence him. Somehow they must have thought that Jesus was too important to stop and help the blind beggar. But faith overcame those obstacles and their scolding. He wouldn't stop crying out for mercy. Mercy from the Son of David until he received it. That's what faith does. Did receive mercy from Jesus. Jesus stopped walking toward Jerusalem, paused, spoke to the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Or translated in another way, "Your faith has saved you." And there it is again, salvation. By faith alone in Christ. Faith in what? He wasn't seeing yet. He didn't somehow have faith that he already could see and therefore received the gift of sight. He simply believed in Jesus, the merciful and loving Lord. The eyes in the blind man's head counted for nothing. They were worthless. Only faith, created by God's Holy Spirit through the good report he had heard about Jesus, benefited the blind man, not human reason, not good works, not some innate worthiness in that particular man, only faith in Christ. And as a result of that faith, Christ saved him from his physical blindness. And in so doing, Christ teaches us that human reason counts for nothing. But all who believe in him, that is, all who seek refuge in Christ from the condemnation their sins have earned, are justified and saved before God by that faith. By faith, Christ heals our status before God. He takes sinners and turns them into saints who are counted holy and righteous in God's sight by faith alone. By faith, Christ also heals our spiritual blindness, even as he healed the physical blindness of the blind man. When you can't see or understand God's word clearly in all its parts, when you can't see God's path clearly or God's ways, when the road ahead of you appears dark and dim, when you can't see anything else, see Jesus. Not with your eyes, but with your ears, preferably. You know him well enough through the word that you have heard. You've seen that he is truthful and dependable. You know what the apostles still didn't know at the time our gospel took place. As they followed Jesus toward Jerusalem, you know how he was rejected by the people of Israel, turned over to the Gentiles and to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. You know how they scourged him, and spit on him, and killed him. You know how he rose again from the dead on the third day, and how his church has been built over the last 2,000 years, how you yourself have been made a member in his holy church through holy baptism, and how he continues to feed you with his body and blood in holy communion. And that's enough. That's all you have to see for now, until Christ sends his spirit to enlighten your mind further. So like the blind man prayed for mercy, you will receive it. Pray for your faith to be strengthened. God will strengthen it. And when you can't see how to love your neighbor, or you can't see in yourself the strength to love your neighbor as you ought, pray for help in that too. And God's Holy Spirit will help. Help you to love as Christ has loved, as St. Paul described in 1 Corinthians 13. To love with a love that suffers long and is kind, that does not envy, that does not parade itself, that is not puffed up, that does not behave rudely, that does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, that rejoices not in iniquity, but in the truth. A love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. A love that does not fail. Seek his help, that you may grow into his image of love. And don't stop crying out for his mercy until you receive it. See Jesus, even when you can't see anything else. See him during this Lenten season that begins this coming Wednesday. Follow him to Jerusalem. Follow him along the path of suffering and self-denial. Even when you don't understand it, even when it's hard, even when you don't see the outcome, because it's hidden from you. He will lead you to the cross, but also to an empty tomb. All who look to him for help will receive it. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.